Show Me the Way, episode 44, Kivett Connect Solutions, LLC. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be an exciting show because you're going to listen and learn from the Sherpa to celebrities. This individual has built a business in Indiana where people fly in from all over the United States and the world to get the kind of care, nurturing, feeding that they need for their souls and physically. Her name is Amber Kivett, and she is with Kivett Kinetic Solutions, LLC. You're going to enjoy this. Stay tuned. Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Fain, LLP, about business succession planning, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I am your host, Dave Sider. And ladies and gentlemen, today I'm very excited about this. Joining me is Amber Kivett. Now, Amber, I want you to listen very closely to her story, if you would, and where she's come from, to where she's at, to where she's going. So that's going to be the first segment. We're talking business journey here, exponential proportions. And I'll ask her to start with, as we all know on my podcast, where she was born, but where she lives, because you're going to find this fascinating in the location in Indiana. She is someone that is talked to me about how I should deal with my health and stress, and I think becomes a valuable resource to anybody listening to the podcast. And that's going to be really the second part of our interview. She is a business owner that has climbed a mountain that I think few of us will ever have to climb. So she is going to be our Sherpa on this journey. Amber, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today, David.
Give us a little flavor of your background and your early business experience. Let's start with, where were you born? Where were you raised?
Sure. I was born in Danville, Indiana, which is a farm community, but I graduated and lived most of my life in Plainfield, Indiana, about 30 minutes, well, not even 30 minutes, about 15 minutes west of the Indianapolis airport. And that's where I kind of lived my life until I was 18 and then went off to Purdue for 6 years and then moved back home and then married a farmer. And here we are on a farm.
And you were able to, when you came back, what role did you take on? What job did you start working?
Yeah, so I got certified immediately after graduating from one of the most prominent sports medicine programs in the country in athletic training. I got certified as an athletic trainer. And then within a few weeks after passing that board exam and getting my license to practice, I started in working a lot with human performance, sports performance, and got certified as a strength conditioning coaching specialist through NSCA. That's like another hard test, but you just got to pass the test, right? And then you get to start to play. So did that, started working for a high school and didn't enjoy working with the high school as much right out of the gate because it was just wanting to get my, you know, my feet wet in a lot of different things. So I did some occupational medicine for FedEx at the airport, worked as a cast tech for one of a prominent physician's office in Indianapolis called Ortho Indy, and learned a lot of great things from some of the top orthopedic surgeons in the Midwest in the first couple of years that I was out and practicing, but then missed the kids. And so went back to coaching and working as the head athletic trainer and sports medicine coordinator for an organization and started immediately working with professional athletes.
And that is really the niche that you have now in part. So you deal with people in all different sports, football, baseball.
Honestly, I work with anybody and everybody from, I had a young athlete in yesterday, 8 years old, who is a national champion in dirt bike motor racing. And I work with 80-year-olds. So I work with everybody in between, but celebrities, athletes, business owners, a little bit of everybody.
So literally people will fly in from around the country, no exaggeration, into Indianapolis, and then drive out to, and you're on a farm scenario, right? Or situation.
Yes.
Shows you I'm a city boy. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. Like I said, I grew up in the city. So trying to get used to living in the farm life, it's very different.
Right.
It's very quiet. We live on about 300 acres. And in I can be to the Indianapolis airport terminal in 30 minutes flat, but it takes GPS to locate where I'm at. So it's I get the quiet and the peace and the sanctuary, if you will, in the middle of nowhere. When you think you've gotten to the end of the world, that's where you run into our sanctuary on the hill. And it was about a month ago when Todd Durkin flew out here for a big retreat that I hosted for another colleague. We had 6 clients fly in that week in a matter of 5 days. And some of them came as far from California, Canada. We had people from all over New York City. It was a very, very fast paced week. But yes, we've got people that come from all over.
So what draws them to you? What have you done that gives you that kind of reach? Because that's unusual. Not everybody gets that.
It's the magic. Everybody comes to experience the magic. M-A-G-I-K.
and let's talk about the magic. And it is trademarked. Is that right?
Yep.
It is your signature calling card. Share with the audience what that is.
Yeah. So magic is actually an acronym. A lot of people, because of my gift to heal others with my hands and in my spirit, you know, a lot of people for a long time when I would work on them or use my sports medicine background would be like, gosh, she's magic, or she's got magic hands, or I'm going to go see the magic lady. And then some people started calling me the witch doctor. And that kind of took a spin for the direction I didn't want to be, because everything I do is it truly in God's direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the acronym M-A-G-I-K and created a whole mission with it, like a whole vision. And so magic is that the words are motivation, acceptance, greatness and gifts, inspiration and kindness. And what that all comes equate is magic is motivating you to being a better version of yourself by accepting you right where you're at. No judgment, meaning most people seek me out when they are at the bottom of the barrel. They are severely depressed. They are no hope because I charge a premium for what I do. So we accept them right where they're at. You know, you walk in the door, we're here to help you. And I don't judge, don't have a right to judge, right? And we recognize that we all have gifts within us that make us great. But most people have forgotten when they're depressed or when they're broken, something doesn't work on their body, or they've been diagnosed with a disease or an autoimmune problem that they are now panicking over. They're no longer thinking about what they're still capable of doing. They're in survivor mode. They're in fight or flight mode. So we recognize them right where they're at. We recognize that there's gifts and there's greatness that they can share with others within themselves. And we inspire them to do that by just being kind, because everybody needs kindness today, right?
Absolutely. Especially today.
Yeah. So that's what it's about.
So how did you get your first client? Because magic was not something that came right out of the chute. It took you a while to get there. So what was the evolution to get to that point?
Yeah. So the evolution came me going through a traumatic car accident and getting fired from a job that I couldn't go back to because my FMLOA ran out. My husband and I were only married for 9 months, and I was truly had just hit the glass ceiling in my career. Life is perfect. I've got the house. I got the car. I got the prince. I've got money. Like, I'm no longer like fighting and grinding in the trenches. I actually get to enjoy life a little bit. And just right when you start to get used to everything, feeling like, I finally made it, right? To truly fighting for my life. And so I was in a motor vehicle accident after working on a Saturday covering a baseball tournament. May 21st, 2005. Never forget the date. That was the worst day of my life that God gave me the gift to plant the seed to become the best that I could actually be. And that's what I do today. So that accident put me in three different impacts. My airbag did not deploy because I had one of those glamorous bull bars on the front of the Denali that you kind of since you live out in the middle of nowhere, right? You got to protect the vehicle from the deer, right? Not thinking about the human. And I ended up in taking several impacts. The airbags did not deploy. And I ended up with 8 spinal injuries, a head injury, fibromyalgia, severe spinal strain, and living at a time when doctors didn't know anything about autoimmune disease, head trauma, or, you know, right in the middle of the narcotic surge of, you know, Percocet and OxyContin, you know, just 27 years old. And I was a freak of nature to most doctors, and they just didn't know what to do with me. So they used me as a guinea pig. And yeah, so it became 23 pills a day, 8 to 10 Percocet, lots of other pills. Now we see a lot of gabapentin. I was a clinical test trial for that years ago with Neurontin, and had to find a lot of specialists to help me. I was doing about 12 medical appointments a week and living as a zombie, just taking the pill as I was told to take because I had no short-term memory. So When you lose control over how your mind works and you don't know what's going on around you, that scares the crap out of you.
Yes.
And you are more vulnerable than you choose to be. And so I hallucinated one day because the doctors were over-medicating me and no cross-checking because there's no controlled substance log back then. And my husband asked me who I was talking to, and I thought I was talking to friends in the house. And it was just two of us.
Wow.
At that point, I realized I had a big problem and just decided I did not want to live this life. And, you know, when I went and fought with the doctors, they're like, no, like, you just need to rest and you need to take the pills. And, you know, we can file disability. You don't even have to go back to work. You can file, you know, social security benefits. And I'm like, this is not what I went to school to do. Like, you know, I was at school for 6 years and double majored in exercise science and athletic training. And I did not want to live a life as a vegetable without a spinal cord. So without a spinal cord injury, I should say. So I ended up in firing everybody and I started over and found an Asian doctor who practiced acupuncture. And it came down to a really bad headache one day. I just lived, you know, I had this head trauma and just one headache after another, and you just want the headache to go away. So you just continue to take the pill. And I found an Asian doctor who did acupuncture, and only one guy in India at that time. And I went and saw him with the intention of getting acupuncture and ended up
in India,
in Indianapolis.
Oh, India. Yeah. Okay. Not,
in India.
I think you said
no,
India.
Not
okay.
India. No.
Obviously I'm not from Indiana.
Yeah. Maybe first short of Indianapolis. No. So I ended up in going to see him, and I'm thinking I'm going to walk in for a routine acupuncture experience. And he basically did a bunch of testing on me. And he said, you're a month away from dialysis. We have to get you off these drugs. The doctors are killing you. And I can help you. And so we started immediately herbal detox. We started acupuncture. We started a method called wet cupping, where they actually cut you to cause you to bleed. And then they use fire in order to suction the cup with the blood. And it just an extraordinary experience at the time that was absolute hell on wheels. You truly feel like you're burning alive. And I did that for several weeks until I started to see a little bit of light coming out of the dark tunnel. And I started doing what every doctor told me not to do and started moving again.
Oh, wow.
And when I started moving again, my body was hurting, but I started to feel a little different. And so I hired a massage therapist 2 hours a week to manage the edema and the fluid in my body because I couldn't move a lot. And I had to learn how to walk a normal gait in an underwater treadmill in aquatic rehab because nobody could actually touch me. I was so hypersensitive to touch. So I went through all that and hired a psychologist to teach me how to deal with the mental aspect of my new identity and how to deal with people who saw me different, because I gained about 50 pounds in medicinal weight gain.
Wow.
So I looked pregnant, and I wasn't pregnant, and I wanted to be pregnant, and I was miserable. So
oh, wow.
I went from being truly living the Cinderella life to living a life of hate, where I just hated myself and had to figure out how to get through that, and a lot of anger. And figuring out, like, why me? Why is this happening to me and why now? And didn't feel worthy of being healthy again. I actually gave my husband permission to leave me and to find somebody else because I didn't think I deserved him at that point. And it was a really rough time. He stayed with me the whole time. And he said, I married you for better or for worse in sickness and in health. And this is what I signed up for. And had he not stayed with me, I don't know that I would have made it. But we made it. And we're still making it. And again, I just didn't realize that God had planted a seed in me to being able to figure out the human body on a different perspective through emotional trauma, through physical trauma. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse as well. And a lot of that trauma had hibernated in my body over time. And I just swept it under the rug and never really dealt with it, just kept going. And it came out in that accident and in the form of, you know, chronic fibromyalgia pain, which is indescribable to a lot of people what that actually feels like. And again, when you've been through something like that, you emotionally relate to everybody else different. You have body image problems for, you know, most people for the rest of their life. You don't feel deserving of anything, and it's hard to find yourself. But that accident forced me to find the person I could become. And it's taken me 15 years. I mean, 15 years ago, I was learning to walk again, if that brings things to perspective. So I learned how to share the magic within me by learning how to immerse myself into the fields that healed me and created my own system to heal others.
So it to me, and I'm interpreting here a little bit, you had general training for very specific training, as a, being an athletic trainer at a very high level. But then through this, so you had that intellectual training, right? Educational training. But then you had the experiential training of going through your own, for lack of a better term, misery.
Yes.
So did you take something from that experience and add to everything else or layer it into everything else, into your education?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I already knew so much about like what most who don't understand what an athletic trainer does. If you're watching the NFL or you're watching the NBA and you see an athlete go down on the field, an athletic trainer is the first line of service to take care of that athlete, figuring out what's wrong with them. Should we move them? Should, you know, and not only are they diagnosing and assessing, but they're rehabilitating them back to stronger than where they were before so that they can continue to thrive in whatever life that they continue to pursue. So we're very similar to physical therapists. We're very similar and have a lot of attributes that massage therapists have. If you've dealt with a physician assistant, we work very, very closely with all types of physicians and specialists. So yeah, I mean, I was already well-tuned in that arena and understood the human body better than a lot of people. But when you go through an injury in which you have 8 spinal problems, you have a head issue, you have a lot of emotional, you got a depression, like I lost my identity, truly lost my identity as to who I was. And that plays some mind games on you. And when that happens, it changes the physiological response in the brain of how it releases hormones. I actually had gone through hormonal menopause. So I had the hormone levels of a 9-year-old woman at the age of 27. And back then you didn't talk about anti-aging hormone therapy. And now we do all the time. So I was kind of, you know, learning as I went because everybody gave up on me. And, you know, when everybody else gives up on you, what do you got left? You've only got you. So you got to figure it out or you stay where you're at. And I just refused to accept my reality as it was. And so I have learned, I still learn every single day. That's part of my daily mantra is I have to learn something new every single day and not being afraid to try something because what I got to lose. I mean, I'm not going to lay around the rest of my life, but you know, what doctors say would say, well, you know, you need to rest. You need to let the medicine do its work. It's like, no, I feel like worse. Like it's, you always follow your gut intuition about what you think about yourself because what you feel about you and what doctors perceive are two different things. So that's why we accept people where they're at. Like I actually listen to what people tell me because I don't tell them how they should feel or, you know, what you should be thinking. Because I don't know what's in your situation, but I can give you some insight on how maybe we can get through it together.
Perfect. So if when I come to your shop, okay, I'm coming to your shop. I will be coming to your shop.
Yes,
is what
are.
I'm saying. And so what should I expect walking in the door?
Oh man, the magic happens before you even walk in the door. Most people, when they pull into the parking lot of my facility, it is a 4,000 square foot pole barn on our family farm. And most people see a barn from the outside and then they walk in and they're like, whoa, did not expect it. You have to ask Todd Durkin about that experience.
Okay.
Because he was just here about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. But the sights, the smells, the textures, like the senses, the emotion, everything. I did a lot of research in this whole process of rebuilding out my brand and rebuilding out my facility. And I made it so that it would draw people from all over the world. Like it's not just walking in for treatment. It's you walk in the room and you're just inspired by what you see and the success stories on the walls and the colors and just it starts to move you. You feel like you're almost home or you feel like this euphoria taking over you. Like you feel an immediate calming. And some people cry. Like people walk in my treatment room and they just sit down and I don't even ask them a question and they start crying and they look at me like, I don't know why I always cry when I'm here. And I'm like, because you feel safe and you have a lot to let go of.
Wow.
It's okay to let go.
Wow.
So what should you expect? You get to fill out a handout that I give you and I've already done the emotional work ahead of time. So when I give these questionnaires to my clients, most people call me when they're in pain, emotional pain or physical pain, but where you experience pain is not where the source of the problem lies.
Right.
It's just the outlet. So on my assessment form, check yes or no box of about 40 questions that are very simple and everything is done hard copy. I learned that the hard way a couple years ago. We don't do technology assessments. We do hard copy, check yes or no box. I'm assessing for anything and everything that could possibly have gone wrong in your life, in your body from an orthopedic standpoint, from an emotional standpoint. Do you stand? Do you sit? Do you drive? Do you have anxiety? Do you have depression? Do you have, you know, all these different underlying problems that could be, but most people just want to tell me about the problem that they're calling about, and they don't think everything else is relevant, and everything matters. Everything matters, you know, as to how we assess the whole body. And so as soon as I go through and look at the check yes and no boxes, I can already tell from the moment that I look at how many X's are checked in the yes column, I can already tell how long the treatment's going to take me to make them happy. I can already tell like what questions I need to ask in order to figure out what else is hiding, you know, emotionally, because some people have physical pain and they have, yes, they look like they have depression setting in, but there's something else that they're not telling me that I haven't asked the question. And so when I start asking them certain questions, don't ask me how I know what to ask them. God just tells me what, I mean, God puts it in my mind and then it comes out and then they're like, how did you know? Well, I just am just following the intuition and the instincts. And it always results in magic. And magic is everything, like life-changing that happens in those appointments. And there's a lot of people that come in to see me who, for instance, might have sciatica. And I might go through the sequencing of the questions and show them some exercises and ask them what they've already been taught. And then before I even touch them with my hands, they're already pain, like 50% pain-free. And I haven't even touched them yet. And then when I actually touch them, then they leave completely pain-free with a whole new hope of life. So that's what you can expect. You can walk in and just know that you're in a safe place and you're going to leave way better than the way you walked in. So the man that you walk in as, you get to leave him here and I get to send you out a whole different person.
You got, ladies and gentlemen, you got to get on that program right there based on what you said. So I should be ready to commit an entire day, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
For people who fly in, we block off an entire day because the worst thing that I can do for you, David, is to schedule two clients on that day and you fly in to see me and I am signing up for way more than I think I'm getting and I don't have time. And so on those days, you're basically renting me for the day. And if we don't take the whole day, then you don't have to pay for the whole day. But we assign the whole day just so that if we need it, then we're not shortchanging what you came for.
And so people that are interested, can they go online and reserve a time or sign up? How does that happen?
Yeah, so you have to go through my gatekeeper. Her name is Chelsea. And Chelsea, you can go on our website, which is kksmagik.com, kksmagic.com. Most people contact me directly. You know, my assistant, she's like, why don't you just put my phone number? And it comes down to, I want to hear their story. I want to hear their voice before I actually see them in my room the first time. So I listen to their story. And on certain calls, if I have somebody who's calling me from another state, I call them back myself. And then I let them know that Chelsea's going to be in contact with them to get them officially on the schedule. We typically have a wait list, but if I've got some high profile clients that need to sneak in, celebrities or professional athletes, or if I have to fly out to them, we move mountains to make things happen. And my clientele locally are very understanding of what I do and are, in a lot of ways, are very grateful to have me in the community. So they're very understanding that when we have to move the schedule around, it's, you know, we've done that for a lot of our clients, so they understand it. But that's where it starts. Just starts with a phone call or it starts with an inquiry on our website. And I give out my phone number so people can contact me directly. And that's 317-446-7971. And I have a jingle for this. I got to share the jingle.
Go.
317-446-7971.
All right. Based on that, I will contact Mr. Kelsey and Ms. Swift and tell them they need to, next time they're in Kansas City, they need to stop off at your place. I'm not sure they're going to do that, but anyway.
Well, I can come to you guys. I have no trouble hopping a jet, as you have learned in the past.
Yes. Well, but I'm going to see your locale.
You definitely have to walk in the room. And it makes a huge difference when you're in the space versus when I'm in your space. But I'm happy to go either way.
And so at this point, I mean, you got a waiting list. How long is your waiting list? 30, 60, 90 days? Just so people have an idea.
I am booked right now to max capacity.
Okay.
And that's working about 40 hours a week, just putting my hands on people.
Wow.
It's not unusual for me to, I don't start any earlier than 9 a.m. unless it is a high profile individual that I need to, we have no options. When you're working with professional athletes and celebrities, you have to cater to their accommodation on their schedule because they really don't have any room to move their schedule. So I'll come in for certain cases earlier than usual, but I have to start my miracle morning, my magic morning. So I start seeing most clients no earlier than 9, but I have been known to see clients until 1 o'clock in the morning. And when I get started, I don't stop until I'm done. So I don't take multiple breaks through the day. I get into a flow and I just keep going until I'm done.
Wow. And you accept people from literally from all over the world come to see you.
Yes, sir. Everywhere.
And you started this on a little farm in central Indiana.
Yes, that's correct.
And you've grown it to this mega business at this point.
It's a huge empire at this point. Yeah. Not an empire like what you're working with yet with your mergers and acquisitions. But hey, that's the 10X dream and that's where we're going.
There you go. So talk about that. Where are you going? What's going to happen in the next 10 to 20 years for you?
Well, I firmly believe, so I'm 45 right now, and I think at my point in my life, it's more of mentoring others and giving back while continuing to master my craft, because I don't think we can ever master our craft to completion until we're burned out. And I firmly believe that you have to have an absolute passion for what you do and you have to love what you do. You know, somebody asked me not too long ago, one of my clients asked me a while back, like, are you ever going to retire? And I said, absolutely not. I will never retire because the you know, they call me the gatekeeper of dreams out in California with a lot of the professionals, with a lot of the athletes. And that comes down to he or she who has good health and has no pain has 1,000 dreams. And he or she who doesn't only has one. And that's to be able to dream again or to be able to have their health back. And if I have the power to give that to them, that's a pretty powerful role to play. And that's something that God has delegated me. So I don't see myself retiring anytime soon from any part of what I do. But I have created my own system, and it's not officially trademarked yet, but it's on our wall, and it's Kippers, K-I-P-R-S, and it's Kivit Instant Pain Relief Systems. And it's a whole collaboration of different, you know, I start from the ground up. So I've got an entire barefoot training program. I've got my own cupping brand, and how you position the cups on an individual and the process that you utilize to figure that out and what you do with them after they're on. That's all part of my systems. And I don't teach that readily. I think I've taught that in the grand scheme of things, 4 to 6 people right now across the entire world have learned it from start to finish.
Wow.
So that's something I'm working on, but waiting for the trademarking to come through on my branding, because I don't want to mass produce these cups until the trademarking is pushed through. So we've been fighting that for 2 years. It's been a long process. But that once we get that underway, then just truly teaching the system. But it's not teaching the system necessarily to professionals, but it's teaching the system to you so that you can take care of yourself at home. If I can teach you how to put the cups on yourself, or if I can teach you the exercises in the system that are going to give you the maximal opportunity to thrive, why would I want to teach a therapist that if they don't understand how to figure out when to delegate that exercise? But if I can teach you, or if I can teach, you know, a director of sports medicine, you know, how to work on athletes or how to assess them the way that I've created my system, then we're moving up a little bit higher. So truly training Ferrari mechanics to service the Ferraris, because there's a lot of people servicing Camaros and Corvettes, but not enough that are servicing Ferraris, right?
Right.
So teaching people how to work at a different toolbox, but you have to have a very open mind, and it's very hard to find those professionals right now because they're just wired in the Western world, and a lot of what I do is in the Eastern world, but I integrate both.
Wow. That is awesome. I mean, the excitement that I can just sit here, I'm getting energy just talking from you. So I appreciate you doing that. Let's shift gears a little bit. Now let's talk about for our listeners, especially, you know, after COVID,
yeah.
But really, COVID, I think, was just a catalyst for a lot of people to reveal some of the stress, frustration, anxiety. I think all of that came to the forefront. I see this with, of course, as an attorney, you know, no one is really deciding, hey, let's see, I've got $10,000. I can go for a trip to the Caribbean or spend it with my attorney. Absolutely no one has ever said that on the face of the earth. they come to me because there's a problem, right? It's kind of like I'm kind of like the dentist. It's, you know, you have to do it. You don't really want to do it. So I often see people in some level of anxiety or pain. Okay.
Sure.
And I think Dave Sider, I don't know that it's because of legal training, because they never talked about this in legal training, going through law school or otherwise. But I have great empathy when I hear that. And that's a little bit, I guess, of my secret sauce, because they call me holistic and, you know, I'm not like other attorneys. That sort of thing has been said over and over to me. I guess it's a level of caring. But, you know, I'm always interested in helping people in dealing with the issues that confront them, with the stress, the anxiety. And in the context of deals, there's always something called a deal fatigue, where you just get worn out. But in fairness, you can apply that across the board to business in general. Like, people hit walls, you know, people go too long without taking a break, and it becomes, you know, it becomes a problem. And I believe it winds up in some physical ailments, what would be my assumption. You can see by my statement,
you are assuming correct.
I'm not studied in as learning as you are. So let's start with this. How do you deal with people who may be coming to you, and especially professional athletes? A lot of it must be stress related and anxiety because of performance issues or lack thereof. How do you deal with that?
Well, let me start with this. First things first, when you talk about business owners, corporate owners, professional athletes, anybody that's working or living in a world that's very high level, you have to make sure that you are defining each and every moment as to whether you're living a marathon or a sprint. And I think our entire life is the marathon, but we are running a race by doing lots of sprints and recoveries in between. And if we are trying to run the marathon without training and taking the breaks in between, we're going to hit the wall before we're supposed to hit the wall. So I think understanding that it's okay to take breaks before you're exhausted is really important. I think let's talk about what anxiety is for those who don't understand that, because I did some learning on this. I mean, I've understood this for a long time, but what I wanted to do was make sure that I was being politically correct in sharing what anxiety and stress actually mean. So anxiety is simply a fear of the future or dreading something that's coming, and excessive worry. And that is normal to feel some of those sensations when you're going into a situation that makes you nervous, especially if you're doing something that's right. If it gives you butterflies in your tummy and it makes your heart rate race, then you're probably doing the right thing, so long as you're doing it with the right intentions. But when you feel it all the time, or you're afraid to move forward because of what is yet to come, you're unable to relax. You're feeling like the world is speeding up or slowing down without you being in control over it. Or you feel like other people are seeing you as being anxious or thinking that you are, quote unquote, a freak of nature or you're crazy. If that's what you think other people are seeing you as, that is another great defining point of anxiety. What is really important to remember about anxiety is that it actually sets off the body's fight or flight system. And so when our body is in a state of survivor mode, our sympathetic nervous system is upregulated, which means we've got adrenaline, we've got norepinephrine, we've got cortisol levels that are surging in order to keep our heart and our lungs and our brain functioning. But our body is not meant to do that for long periods of time. And so when we don't take those moments to recover, we're not getting enough sleep. So in other words, we're not getting 8 hours of sleep. We're not in bed, you know, between 10 and 11 p.m. and sleeping through the night. And why that's important is because between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. is the greatest threshold of which the brain naturally releases human growth hormone and testosterone without hacking into it. Once you get beyond that threshold of 2 a.m., you're kind of falling off the ledge of natural hormone release. And if our body is not releasing those hormones, then men especially will go through an andropause moment where they experience low levels of testosterone that is stress-induced. But the other thing for especially with women is we start to develop what's called adrenal gland fatigue. So what happens is the body starts producing so much toxic energy from cortisol and too much adrenaline that the kidneys cannot filter the toxins fast enough, and you get the adrenal glands, which are located on the kidneys, are become exhausted, and you start to age very fast. So you start to experience depression. You start to experience your hair falling out. You start to be foggy minded, more irritable. There's a lot of different things that go in that. You start to gain a lot of weight in your gut. And for men, you start to develop man boobs, if you will. But most men, I'm going to be honest with you, most men will keep it quiet. And the reason being is because one of the greatest indicators of being in an andropause state is erectile dysfunction. And so most men don't realize that that can come on in your 30s, not realizing it because it's stress induced, because your body can't recover. And once your brain quits producing that testosterone hormone, it doesn't know that it's supposed to continue to try and look for it. So then if you don't go supplementing for it, then your brain doesn't recognize it anymore and you age really fast. And then guess what? Now we've got heart disease, cholesterol, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Testosterone is the greatest prevention for all four of those in men, but also for depression.
I have never...
So that's a lot, like really fast.
No, that's fantastic. I've never heard anybody put it together like that. That's brilliant. It's not only have you been studying it, you've been executing it. Yep.
Yeah, it all starts in your mind. And here's something that's really important to remember as well. Most people don't realize this, but your brain does not create your thoughts. Your mind and your spirit and your soul create your thinking process. And we think anywhere from 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, according to the facts. But over 40,000 of those for most people are negative. So if you're thinking over 50% of your thoughts are negative, you're living in a fight or flight state all the time. Like you can't relax. And so what's really important to remember is if you are not thinking in the right direction, then your thoughts actually control what the brain releases from a hormonal and a bioelectrical standpoint. The body is very electrical. And so our electrical pathways, we have more synapses in one human brain, and a synapse is an electrical connection. Think of lots of leaves on a tree. We have lots of electrical synapses. We have more synapses in one human brain than all the stars in the Milky Way galaxy combined. That's a lot. And one human brain is more complex than all computers on planet Earth. I had to learn about this for some of the biohacking stuff that I do. And so if you think about how complex our brain really is, I love doctors that really recognize their abilities. But not all doctors, like doctors don't know it all. They can't know it all because we
Nobody
are all
does.
So different. And we are emotionally driven individuals. We are spiritual beings living in a human life, right? So if we are creating these toxic thoughts, those bad thoughts, those anxious moments, those thoughts of worry and fear, especially when you're talking about your mergers, and if am I going to come out ahead? Is the company going to change? That is actually changing the electrical response from the brain to the peripheral nervous system. So, and that's all happening with the thinking process. So you can hack into the brain as to through your thinking process, but the brain does not create your thoughts. So you actually have to work that process.
See, here's what I'm thinking after a couple of podcasts I've had, you being the second one. I need to equip people that have gone through this with you, okay? Because
Yes. Because
they've got to figure out that separation, right, before and after, and how to deal
Correct.
With that. And I see
Correct.
That.
We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, and it's
especially with men.
Especially with men, and try to, you know, as I say, you're not going to retire. You're going to rewire, and you're going to find a new way forward.
Right. Exactly.
And you would seem to be the catalyst to help people get to that point. So let's role play here, hypothetical. I'll send you someone who is, well, it's not hypothetical actually, but I'm going to send you someone that's gone through that and they're kind of discombobulated. So what kind mm-hmm. of a protocol would you put together for them? Dealing with this jump. Sure. So they're going to be probably in their 60s. They have probably, it's a closely held business, not a publicly traded business, right? So unlike
people. Family centrical?
Probably family centrical. And unlike a publicly traded company where everybody's sent up to the Mayo Clinic once a year or whatever, you know, every five
right.
years, whatever it is. They probably have not seen a doctor in a while. They've been too busy, right, to do that.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they probably are getting up early, staying up late, probably overweight, mm-hmm. probably not working out, probably having a certain type of meal that you'd go like, let's cut back on the steak. And probably drinking a little bit and living on edge. hopefully not smoking, that it's got not gone away. And all of a sudden, they've kind of entered, it's like they pulled back a curtain and it's a whole new horizon, but they don't know what it looks like. But they have not been able to get out of that 40, and in some cases, 50-year existence that they've been in. And now they become, you know, a burden on their significant other.
Correct. A lot of divorce through that, or a lot of separation. You know, the divorce rate's like over 60%. It's kind of crazy right now. I'm just going to say, when it comes to, I call it de-stressing.
Right.
De-stressing, there are a lot of different ways. And in the fitness realm, we have to make sure that we're moving our bodies, because when we're sitting stagnant, our body starts to glue itself. So our body is essentially floating in this, what we call ground substance of what seems to be like Jell-O. But when the Jell-O isn't moving enough, it turns into sticky peanut butter or honey, and then it eventually turns to glue, which means we become stiff and unable to move. And I'm not talking about the good stiff that the guys like.
Right, so to speak, yes.
Yes, yes. So, and if they're not sleeping, a lot of that has to do with how the hormones are regulating and their habits going to bedtime. So I'm going to tell you the first thing that I'm going to do in bringing them in is we put them through the 10 forms of wealth. And we figure out like what is truly the greatest weakness in their life, because you're only strong as your weakest point. And I think most people, if you've got somebody who is selling their company and there's a lot of, they are worried about family. Am I going to have enough money to be able to delegate to my family when I'm gone? If that's even a problem. I'm sure some it is and some it's not. But I think the biggest problem, especially in men, is they associate their entire empire as their identity, and they don't have an identity outside of their empire, but their empire is not their identity. It's so one of the things that I teach is like, what are 3 to 5 things that you can do no matter how much money you have, no matter where you live, no matter who you're with? In fact, let's figure out what we can do by yourself. Because if you are by yourself and all you have is you, there has to be, you know, 3 to 5 things that you can do no matter where you're at that actually bring happy to your heart, make your heart beat a little bit faster. And most people who are in the situation that you're referring to have not been happy in a very long time, because they equate their happiness with money or with fame or with power. And that's not, when they give it away or when they sell it off and then they're left with, you know, the dollar signs, they're not happy and they can't figure out why, and they think there's something wrong with them. And there's nothing wrong with them. They have just lost themselves in the identity of the company that they don't know how to dream. And for the longest time, they quit dreaming because they were trying to make things happen faster than probably what they could keep up. So for me, I like to go through and put them through the 10 forms of wealth and figure out if they can even answer the questions. And if they can't answer the questions, that's where we're going to meet them and accept them right where they're at. And we're going to figure out how to recognize the gifts that they have inside of them that they don't have, that like they're not recognizing. And I can usually ask, you know, is there a bucket list of things that you've always wanted to try that you've never tried? Or is there something you used to enjoy that you had to give up in order to be able to run your business? And when we start figuring out some of those details, then the ideas come to my mind that I might introduce to them. And then they're like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. Because when you're so stressed and anxious, you cannot think like beyond the 2 steps in front of you. Truly. Like you're trying to think like further out in advance. And that's how they've thought most of their career in some ways, or they wouldn't have become the successful individual that they are. But they don't know how to, when it's all gone. And, you know, if family goes with it and truly they are left alone, they are very depressed, very lonely. And it's almost like, well, I'm too old to do anything with myself now. So it just creates this downward spiral when really there's still so many great things in those individuals. They just need somebody to expose them. And that's what I do.
Well, and I would think that you've had a ton of training, because I imagine with the celebrities and the professional athletes you work with, it's such an up and down existence.
Yeah. On that note, when it comes to working with celebrities and professional athletes, you know, people ask me all the time, why do you love working with the professionals that you do? And I'm just going to say this. I get paid really good money to keep their secrets, because they have so many secrets that they're living with that they can't tell anybody because they're afraid of the vulnerability. If it should get out, like what people are going to think of them, how they're going to be judged, or the money that they're going to lose, or they're going to be in the media. So I get paid to keep secrets. But I also am working, truly love working with a lot of those individuals because they fear and they worry about so much of the same stuff, David, that you and I think, like relationships, whether it's a significant other, whether it's a daughter or a son, or whether it's, you know, what this person might think of them, or they're worried about if they've still got what it takes. You know, if you are going through an andropause moment and you can't, pardon my language, if you can't get your dick hard, then like you're living with that. And like, this is my reality. And your self-worth and your self-confidence just evacuated, because that's how most men resonate with themselves. With women, we have to deal with that much sooner in our life when we deliver children and carry a child. We've already dealt with some of that, and we lose part of ourselves when some of that happens. But it's different, I think, for a lot of men. I'm not saying for all men, but it is different for men. And so if you don't realize that there are options that are out there that, you know, we can collaborate and get physicians or specialists involved in helping you moderate out your hormone levels through holistic methodologies or through, you know, pharmaceuticals that actually work, as opposed to, you know, trying to recognize that, you know, you have to live with your current reality. That's half the battle for so many people, is they have no idea where to even start. And so truly being able to recognize like that we can help them. When it comes to professional athletes who have been cut or been traded or are trying to work their way up the ladder, or maybe they're now a bench warmer instead of a starter, those individuals are wondering like what's going to happen to their family if they can't make ends meet, because they are providing for their family. Their family becomes accustomed to that lifestyle. And if they can no longer provide it, is my wife going to continue to stay with me? Or is my spouse going to continue to be there? Or what are people going to think of my kids? Do my kids now, like, how am I going to make a living? Because this is all I know. And so with those individuals, it's not a matter of giving them a different career path. It's allowing them to vent and allowing them to let that energy out, because they're scared to talk to their spouse at home, that these things are on their mind. And that's what I love about working with those individuals, is I'm giving them an opportunity to talk to somebody. I've got no stake in the game. I don't gamble. You pay me what you pay me. I love a signed jersey if you want to give it to me, but I'm not going to beg for it. You know, if it happens, it happens. It just, you know, if people ask me, what can I do for you? Hey, I'd love to have your signature on my wall because you matter to me. You know, it's a relationship, but you know, most of those individuals are afraid to talk to somebody because of media, or somebody's going to sell the story. And so they hibernate it in their connective tissue, and that will make you age faster than anything and cause more tension in the body, so you can't function. So whether it is somebody who's in their 60s, whether it's a professional athlete or celebrity, or whether it's you, or whether it's a teenager, it comes back to your identity and how you see yourself, and understanding self-worth. When you see yourself in the mirror, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. Do you love who you see in the mirror, no matter where you're at in your life? And if you don't know how to find that, that's where we have to start, because you can have it all, but if you don't see your worth in the mirror, then you've got nothing.
Well, to your point, I learned a long time ago, there is your identity and then there's your role. And you may have many roles, and you've got to separate those two out. It's very, very important. So if somebody right now, today, somebody calls right now, it's like we have a hotline to Amber. I'm under stress. What would you say for them to do? I can't, you know, I'll get on a plane in 2 hours, but what can I do right now? I'm freaking out. I've just got, of course, I'm going to use my hockey analogies. I just got traded from Le Canadien de Montreal to Vancouver. Okay, I'm French Canadian. Yeah. I just got traded out to the Western. What do I do? I mean, how are you going to tell
airplane,
them? Yeah,
on that airplane, I want two columns. I want what's great and what you're afraid of. And I want you to write down on the one column, I want to know everything that you're grateful for. What is going right in your life? And then on everything on the fear column, or the anxiety, or the worry column, I want you to write down anything and everything that bothers you right this very moment. Anything and everything, whether you have control of it or you don't. I want to know everything that bothers you right now, dating back from your childhood all the way to now. And let's peel the onion.
Yep. God love you. You got a great format.
Because you have to start peeling the onion from the outside and in. And that's why I haven't created my own academy or mastermind or you know, curriculum, as that matters. Because you can't treat everybody like a curriculum. You have to take them right where they're at. And like I said, I don't know where I'm going to go, when they get here, but when they arrive and I start seeing things, I don't have to think. It just happens. Like,
right.
I'm a cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Tim Grover. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a cleaner. Like, I don't think. I know what I'm supposed to do, and it comes very natural, and I don't have to. Yeah. I can sense when I have to think one thing from another, but things just happen. I can do so many of these little tasks with my eyes closed, with no power, done it many a times. And it just, the spirit and the flow of the room changes everything. And whether it's me coming to an individual's environment, I can always feel if there's toxic energy in an environment and figure out how to declutter or purge the toxicity in that environment, because you are 90% of your environment.
Yes, absolutely.
So we have to break it truly down to, you know, what's going right? What do you love about your life? What do you hate about your life? What scares you to death? Are you afraid for yourself? Or are you afraid for somebody else? You know, and then trying to figure out, like, what of those things do we actually have control over? Because so many people worry about things they don't have control over. And that's an absolute waste of space in your brain, space in your mind. Like, if you can't control the outcome, no matter how hard you worry about it, then you got to let it go and find something else to think about.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot tell you how much I have learned during this podcast. I know that you have all learned an incredible amount as well. So let's go back again. How do people find you, Amber?
Yeah, www.kksisinsammagicm.com, or you can contact me by a text message at 317-446-7971. And our email, if you want to send an email, I send it to our support line, which is answered by my direct assistant, and it's support@kksmagik.com. And if you have the business name, that's my personal email, is kivikkineticsolutions@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. Thanks to Amber.
Or just contact Dave and Dave will connect you.
Absolutely. That will be the, well.
If you know how to get a hold of Dave, then.
That's absolutely going to happen.
Through collaboration. Because some people don't want to put their information, especially celebrity or a high profile athlete. They don't want to put their information in an email or through a website, or is this the right phone number? If you know David, then contact David and say, hey, connect me to Amber, and he can group text us. And then we take it from there if we have to.
And I've had to do that for people over the years anyway. So I want to thank Amber. Yeah. And I want to share with everybody that if you're in search of assistance, please go to davidsider.com or go to spencerfain.com to find me, especially if you need to reach out to Amber so we can have a consultation. And if you would, make sure that you subscribe to this show, rate it, and leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platform, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you, Amber, and to the listening audience, be safe. This podcast is provided for educational purposes. It does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to establish attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.